The text for our sermon today is actually an extension of the first reading for this morning, picking up at verse 34. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned their lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. How many of you have had, or maybe even still have, a nickname? Show of hands? I've had several over the years, but there's really only one that I'm willing to share with you this morning. Some of you have maybe even heard this, the nickname Big Al. People get nicknames for various reasons. You can probably guess why I've gotten this one. But they're often based on a physical trait, like shorty for height or red for hair color. A nickname could even be a shortened form of a longer name, such as Bart for Bartholomew or Beth for Elizabeth. We often call our youngest grandchild Penny or PJ instead of Penelope. I've even heard her sister call her Pen-Nilly. Grayson is called Bubba, and I call him Bud quite often because I kind of resist the whole Bubba thing. Maybe it's my northern roots, I'm just not sure. Reagan used to be called Ra-Ra, but now it's mainly Reagan. Often you hear, Reagan Grace! So you know she's in trouble. I used to call Amy Ames, and there are times when I just make up names for her on the fly. Sometimes you just can't really be sure where a nickname comes from, but it is fairly common to have one. The same is true for people who lived in biblical days. You probably remember Simon was given another name, Peter. It meant rock, for the solid confession that he made. One day Jesus was asking his disciples who they believed he was, and Simon said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a great answer, solid as a rock. But now he's known as Peter. The disciples James and John wanted to call down a storm of destruction on a town that didn't treat Jesus with respect. Their nicknames? Sons of Thunder. On this day, the second Sunday of Easter, we remember that we've given a nickname to someone who didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. From the gospel for today. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe. We now call him Doubting Thomas. But in that first reading from Acts, we come across another nickname, Barnabas. The man's name is Joseph, but he's called Barnabas. Why? Well, it was because of what he did so often. He was an encourager. He built people up. He gave of himself to take care of others. He supported those that were all alone. He was a son of encouragement. That's what Barnabas actually means. What a great nickname, Barnabas the Encourager. That's the nickname all of us would like to have. It may not be as cool as Pen-Nilly, but it has a very special meaning. All of us can be encouragers, just like Joseph from Cyprus. Call me Barnabas. Call me the encourager. It's kind of got a nice ring to it. So how did Joseph become Barnabas the encourager? If you look at Acts 4:33 from the first reading for this morning, you'll see a key to his nickname. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was placed upon them all. The nickname Barnabas is a resurrection nickname. He becomes the encourager because of the power of Jesus' resurrection. He encourages people because Jesus' resurrection has brought grace to his own life. But Jesus' resurrection is just not a name changer. It's a life changer. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, people's lives were changed. Peter denies Jesus when things get tough. But on the night he was betrayed, our Lord ends up on trial. He's headed to the cross. Peter is watching all of this play out. Three times people accuse him of being a disciple of Jesus. Three times he says, "I am not." No rock solid confession that night. He was disgraced by his denial. But later, Jesus, alive, body glorified, meets Peter on the beach and restores him. From John chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." With this threefold confession, the threefold denial is overruled. Peter is then reinstated by Jesus with the words, "Follow me." Changed by his meeting with his risen Lord, Peter rises up to become a great apostle in the early church. You know, the same goes for Thomas. When the other disciples tell him the great news of Jesus' resurrection, he just doesn't believe. "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe." But Jesus does just that 8 days later. Jesus appears and stands among them and says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hand. Put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Everything changes. Thomas believes. He too becomes a great apostle in the early church. He too is changed by the resurrection. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us if Barnabas ever personally saw Jesus risen from the dead. But it doesn't really matter. The message of Jesus' resurrection the apostles proclaimed was powerful, and it was life-changing too. It changed Barnabas. Jesus, the risen Lord, came to him in that message, and Joseph of Cyprus became Barnabas the Encourager. The same is true for us. The message of Jesus' resurrection changes us. Are you struggling with sin? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. Your life is changed because whatever that sin is, you are forgiven. Are you doubting God's love? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. Doubt becomes faith strong once again because in his death, Jesus shows us the depth of his love for you. And the resurrection proves that this was his plan. Are you too easily angered? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. Relax and be calm in his peace. Because he lives, he takes care of whatever upsets you. Are you afraid of getting sick, losing your job, maybe even losing someone you love? He is risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is with you always, no matter what this life throws at you. Are you weak and heavy laden? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. He listens to the prayers that you lift up to him. Are you complaining and jealous of what other people have that you don't? He is risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. Contentment comes from him. He lives to grant you a rich supply. Are you afraid of your death? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. You too will rise, as will anyone and everyone who confesses him, just like Peter, just like Thomas. Are you crabby? In negative? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen from the dead. He can change you to be a Barnabas. Yes, you too can be a Barnabas. Just look at what Barnabas did. He had some property, a field. We don't know how big it was. We don't know how much he sold it for. We don't know if he had other fields. It doesn't matter. What's important is that he did not consider that field to be his own. No, he knew it was God's gift to him and that he needed to use it wisely. So he sold the field and brought the money to the apostles. What was the money used for? For those in need in the church. He saw that some people didn't have enough. He sold the field. He gave the money. Now you can guess what the result was. The people in need were encouraged. Someone cared for them. Someone knew what they were going through and wanted to help. Someone was willing to give away what he had to make sure that they had enough. You know who else was encouraged? Those in the church that watched Barnabas do this. They were encouraged because somebody was so generous. They saw that what they had wasn't their own, but it was God's gift to them. They gave too. In that church at that time, none of the members were in need. Barnabas, the encourager, changed by the resurrected Jesus, helped make all that happen. And it's not the only time that Barnabas was the encourager. The Apostle Paul started many churches after Jesus rose from the dead. He wrote many of the books of the New Testament, 13 to be exact. But he was not always a passionate proclaimer of Jesus. No, at one time he persecuted the church, and he was pretty good at it. He arrested people who were Christians. He watched as they were stoned to death, including the deacon Stephen, one of the first deacons appointed by the apostles. You might say that he was even happy when some of the early believers were put to death because of their faith. But when he met the risen Christ on that road to Damascus, he was changed. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter into the city, and you will be told what you are to do." From that point, everything changed. The persecutor became the proclaimer. He wanted everyone to believe in Jesus. But not everyone believed that he had changed. Many were still afraid of him. Can you guess who paved the way for Paul to be accepted by the other disciples? Barnabas. He spoke up for Paul. He vouched for him and traveled with him. He put his very life and reputation on the line for Paul. His words also encouraged Paul. That encouragement could have been one of the reasons that Paul had started all those churches. And they were able to take the powerful message of Jesus' resurrection throughout the ancient world. It was Barnabas, the encourager. So here we are today. We've heard the powerful message of God's grace. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's at work in our lives. He's changing us. We each can be a modern-day Barnabas. But what does that look like? You know, Barnabas spoke up for Paul. The words he used were words of encouragement. I brought a gift today. My Ninja Turtle whatever bag. Everybody likes to get a gift. Well, it's not an iPad. It's not an expensive purse. It's words. I'm praying for you. Jesus loves you. Wow, you look great. And happy birthday. It's nice to see your smile. You do such a great job with the kids.
Oh, thank you.
I admire what a good worker you are. You are a blessing to those around you. You did excellent work on that assignment. You know, I got to see this, the gift of words, at the NRA convention yesterday. There was a couple of people from our gun group, and I went, and we had a guest along. And I got to see these guys in action. I got to see them thank veterans for their service. I got to see them thank vendors for the good job that they had done. And, you know, words of encouragement, words of gratitude. I got to see it in action yesterday. It was really pretty cool. It really was. It's not what I expected to see at an NRA convention. Well, you know, one of the ways that we use words are a gift to someone else, to build people up. Oh, sorry. To let them know that someone cares about them, that Jesus cares. You know, Barnabas also gave to those in need. You know, it still happens in the church today. I remember several years ago, two co-workers of Amy, a husband and wife, suffered a terrible loss. Their son died. They were very poor and had no money for a funeral or to bury their son. Amid their pain, they shared that story with Amy, and Amy shared it with Pastor Wink, who shared it with the congregation. I believe it was at an evening service, but I can't remember if it was Advent or Lent. At the end of that service, we took up a free will offering. Well, this family had never been to our church. You had never met them. Yet you gave. You gave over $1,000 that night to pay for a funeral and a burial to help a family that was in need. Later that week, a family from our congregation offered to pay whatever the cost was that was left. The generosity of the members of our church is overwhelming. My family and I have been recipients of your love, not only when we were in need financially, but also through the SMP program. The encouraging cards and prayers that we received and continue to receive are a testament of the love of God that is manifested through you, Grace Lutheran Church. You are all little Barnabases. Or would it be Barnabai? I'm not sure. But you know, I know the opportunities to give are endless. I also understand with the capital campaign and the building program, many of us are already financially stretched to the limit. But I wanted to mention to you today that at the end of the service, Jim Schroeder is going to speak briefly about a relationship that we have with Portico, the pregnancy center here in Murfreesboro. There's also a handout in your bulletin today. The evangelism team is working on strengthening and expanding our relationship to further impact the community around us. There are many ways that we can encourage and support these single women and their families, those who are facing difficult decisions about a pregnancy. Please take a moment to listen to Jim and to read the handout in the bulletin. So as you continue your routine this week, I ask you to think about Joseph of Cyprus and his resurrection nickname, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. It's a good nickname for us too. As we encourage others that with words that build up and with the generosity that we show. But we need to remember one more nickname for today, a nickname for Jesus. Jesus is given a lot of names: Savior, Good Shepherd, Redeemer, Reconciler, Lord, Prince of Peace. But today, we heard and were shown in Barnabas another name for Jesus, Life Changer. It is only through the grace and the power of Jesus working in Joseph's life that he'd get that nickname, the Son of Encouragement. And it is that same power and grace that manifests itself in our life and that changes us. Share the good news. Be a Son of Encouragement. Why? Because he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.